Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring to you Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Now, I know CeeDee Lamb afterwards was talking about, hey, I feel like I can be ready for the Green Bay game. Absolutely, for sure. Is it just too early to say that, or do you feel optimistic about that possibility?
I think we've got to evaluate the full thing, see how he is moving around as the day goes. And then certainly he's got a high ankle sprain, and every one of those are different. And we'd love to have him back for Green Bay, but at the same time, we also got to, you know, understand the injury is what it is, and it'll play out.
How much does the game plan change when Lamb gets injured and now Pickens is your number one receiver?
Well, I think it changes quite a bit when you when you're able to have both out there. It's a huge plus. Pickens can do a great job for us in the role, but I think everything takes one step back. From there, I think Turpin's doing a great job for us. But when you got all three of those guys out there, it's a lot for the defense to take a look at. And you know, we are running the ball well when we do run it, and Ferguson's doing a good job there in the middle. But, when you miss a player like CD, it certainly makes a difference.
Now, speaking of the running game, like you said, y'all have been running the ball very well. But also, we saw it yesterday, there have been two really, really hurtful turnovers from the running backs in these first three games. Do you feel like that strip fumble from Tyreek Stevenson kind of changed the trajectory of the game yesterday?
No, I mean, it's a tough one. Don't get me wrong. If one of the big things, that's just reality. We're not getting the ball and we're not protecting the ball. I mean, yesterday we have four turnovers and we get none. It's not a good recipe in this league when you have that type of differential in that area. And we've got to continue to work on protecting the ball. But I think, Javonte came back and was running the ball really well. I think if anything, it had him running harder, because he was wanting to make up for it. But, obviously those things hurt you, and especially on the road in a game like that, a turnover's certainly something that is not what you're trying to avoid. So, we just have to move forward and continue to stress to protect the ball. And we got to, we got several things on defense that, we've got to execute on better. And right now, getting the ball is certainly not happening. We got to be better at that.
Yeah. And Stephen, the first game after we talked, I felt like, hey, this team did not look sloppy at all. And for lack of a better word, the last couple of games have kind of felt pretty sloppy defensively. Do you think that's a fair use of that word?
Yeah, I don't know if it's sloppy, if it's lack of execution, but we're certainly, I don't think this is something where you look at it and say, hey, it's personnel issues. I just, right now, we're not executing. We're not getting the job done, and we're giving up way too many explosive plays. We are getting them in third downs at times, but then we're not executing on third down. And this is just something that, you know, we've just got to be better all the way around on defense in terms of executing. And I think that's a big part of it right now.
And I just want to make sure I heard the first part of that correctly. You do not believe it is talent or personnel issues that have led specifically to some of these problems?
No, I think this is certainly it's execution. I mean, you always want your best guys out there, but that's no excuse. We've got to go out. We've got to execute. Everybody, all 11 have to, you know, execute their assignments, and good things will happen. But right now, we're not getting that done. We're giving up way too many explosive plays. We're not getting the ball, and we're not making the plays we need to make on third down.
I've heard this mentioned multiple different times, Steven, so I was kind of curious your thoughts on it. How much does three straight different defensive coordinators in three straight years do you think affects the way things are, especially this early in the season, too?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we certainly believe that we're going to go chop wood and get back to work, and we're going to execute better with each week. I mean, there's no question. I mean, you don't get around that you've had three straight coordinators, three straight different coordinators. And, you know, we just have to work through that. You know, it happens to teams. Teams get new coordinators, and ultimately they can go out and execute and play good defense in this particular case. But we've got a lot of work to do here.
The other term that keeps being brought up, I mean, through the game and afterwards is not enough pass rush, and they keep bringing up Micah's name. Do you think Micah would be the difference for this defense right now and this team's current record?
You know, I'm worried about the guys who are on this football team, and we've got to figure out how to execute, play winning defense, and make it happen, you know, with each week with the guys we have. I mean, every team has challenges with injuries, with different things, and, you know, that's no excuse. We've got to go out. We've got to execute the defense. And I believe in Coach Schottenheimer and Coach Eberflus. He's been successful in this league, you know, for many, many years. And, you know, I believe they'll get the job done.
Now, one of the people that is on the roster, you talked a lot last week about the ramp-up process for Jadeveon Clowney. I know, obviously, he was inactive yesterday, but do y'all think he's going to be on track then to play against the Packers?
Yes, fully expect him to be ready to come in and help. And, you know, we're going to look at obviously be looking at this film very closely and, you know, seeing exactly where our shortfalls are and seeing where we can do some things differently to have success. And I certainly believe, you know, we've got the coaching staff and we've got the players to execute and play good defense.
Can you walk us through, like, historically or going into the hire, what is it about Eberflus's track record that made you believe to begin with that he was the right guy for this defense?
Yeah, I mean, obviously he went on to Indy, was named coordinator from his time here in Dallas. You know, he did a lot of great things here under Marinelli, and then, you know, he had top of the line defenses at Indy to a point where you know, this league seems to go with offensive coordinators as head coaches, but, you know, he made an impact in Indy as a coordinator there and had all top defenses. And then, you know, he didn't call the defense his first year in Chicago, but then once he started calling the defense again, they had really good defenses in Chicago. So track record's very good. We're very comfortable with Coach Eberflus and how he coaches and what he brings to the table, and certainly understand, you know, everybody's going to look hard at anything that's not having success right now, and we're certainly struggling on that side of the ball.
Trayvon Diggs has had his own series of struggles this year. I know he popped up on the injury report, and then he got hit in the shoulder. I know he went back in the game. For everything you know, Trayvon Diggs is coming out of that game feeling all right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's obviously, you know, had a shoulder issue there when he made the tackle out in the open field there. But, you know, this is part of the game. I mean, it's a violent game out there. And certainly, you know, guys get beat up during the course of a season. And, you know, he did, you know, came out of the game there for a little bit, but went back in and everything checked out. And, you know, he came back out and finished strong.
When you talk about the defense executing better, how high up on that list is the tackling? Because there was one play in particular where I know Kenny Clark got dinged up for a second, but there were at least 3 to 4 missed tackles on that play. How concerning is missed tackles early in the season?
You know, I think there's a fine line there between, wrapping up and tackling and punching the ball out. And certainly, you know, we're stressing turnovers and getting the ball, and we want to punch the ball out. But sometimes you sacrifice a little on your tackling accuracy when you go for the punch outs. And that's certainly something I know they're going to continue to look at, the give and take that comes with that. But as you know, you've watched the games. When these defenses go for the punch outs, they're not wrapping up. They're slamming down on the ball and trying to get the ball out and not necessarily wrapping up and, taking the runner to the ground. So there's a fine line there, but, it's the full body of work of what we got to improve on the defensive side of the ball. I do think we're doing some really good things defensively and stopping the run, but, we just got a lot of work to do, and we're going to go to work.
Do you think there will be any extra focus specifically in the first half? Because I know you said it's the full body of work for the defense, but this defense has really put the team in a hole in these first halves, giving up an average of 19.3 points in the first half alone.
Yeah, I mean, we've just I think it seeps into, the full game. I mean, if you start out strong, it obviously helps. We got a great 3-and-out to start the Chicago Bear game. But, obviously we gave up some big plays there in the first half that led to touchdowns. And, we've just got to continue to practice hard and execute and have that roll over into the games that we execute during the games and play the type of defense we need to play to win football games.
Steven, I think it was about half of the plays that Dak had for passing were too high safety. And I'm just kind of curious because a lot of things, Jake Ferguson had a big game underneath yesterday. And I'm just kind of curious, is there a way to beat that too high safety for Dak, or is it just we have to settle for whatever's underneath and just figure our way out there?
No, we have. Certainly we feel like we can beat too high safeties for big plays. It certainly helps when you game plan with CD being in the game. So we were kind of taking what they were giving us there. But we certainly have, two high coverage beaters in our offense that we feel good about. And at the same time, we can execute. And as you said, Ferguson had a real nice game there underneath yesterday. I do feel like we're running the ball well.
Yeah.
And we're going to get our opportunities to make our own explosive plays.
Yesterday after the game, Jerry did say that he still believes this is a playoff team. And I don't necessarily need you to speak for Jerry on this, but if that's the belief within the walls of that place, is it because there's still a lot of season left, because you see some growth? What are your feelings on what he said there?
Oh, I do. I mean, that's why we're in the business for us, to get in the tournament. And we've got a lot of work to do. We certainly understand that. We think we've got a lot of good things that are going for this team, and we do think we should only get better as the season progresses. And one of the guys in the locker room said, hey, this is a 17 round fight and we're only in the third round, so we've got obviously got a lot of work to do, but we feel like that with this coaching staff and with this group of players that we'll do the things that we have to do to be successful.
You know, when you talk about a lot of good things to take away from this team so far, obviously a lot of fans are looking for positives today. I know you talked about the positivity of doing well against in the run defense and then doing well running the ball. Are there any other particular aspects or players or anything that you're like, hey, this is working early on?
Well, I think we can move the ball, throwing the ball. I think Dak's having, he's having a great year so far. I mean, that was unfortunate on the pick. To Pickens, where it unfortunately bounced up in the air off his hands. But, I do think we can move the ball against anybody. And I do believe that, we're going to do the things that we have to do to execute on the defensive side of the ball, especially in the back end, to make the plays we have to make to have success.
I know there can be a fine line between showing that passion and maybe going too far. I appreciated how frustrated George Pickens was after that interception. Any issue with like the slamming of the helmet or anything like that?
I mean, that's something that Coach Schottenheimer addresses with the players. And like you said, he's an emotional guy. We've had guys like that here before, whether it's Michael Irvin or, you know, Dez Bryant, all those guys showed emotion at different times, and they're competitors and they want to win. And when they make a play that they're not happy with, then a lot of emotion comes out. And certainly that's part of it.
And Stephen, before we let you go, I just yesterday Mozzie was active. Was there a particular thing that he had done that that was necessitated him being activated?
Well, Coach Schottenheimer stresses, you know, that we compete every day. And, you know, when he wasn't active the first 2 weeks, he's really been practicing hard. And we just felt like he deserved the chance to go out there and play, that he had practiced really well. And I think he'll continue that. I think the competition's good in there, you know, with the tackles we have. And I think they'll continue to work at it.
Thank you very much for the time, good sir. We appreciate it. We'll catch up with you again next Monday.
Appreciate you guys.
There you go. Stephen Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, as you could probably guess, a lot of people had a lot of different thoughts. I want to cue in on the thing that I thought was most interesting, that there is a fine line between tackling and the punch out and kind of making sure you don't sacrifice too hard one way or another. And because the Cowboys have struggled with some of the tackling, and I do appreciate that he went, I don't always feel like we get what's on his mind about some of these questions, but I liked that answer because it definitely sounded like he was like, hey, we might have to pull back just a little bit on some of those punch out attempts to make sure we're actually wrapping up and tackling. When he talks about the concept of execution, I feel like that's pretty high on the list.
Yeah, Kevin, that and maybe being a little closer when it comes to some of these plays. Like, it just, there were some plays where the punch out didn't even feel like it would have been would have helped.
Yeah,
because they're 3-4 yards away from anything even happening. That was kind of tough, and that's where, you know, he's talking about that.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. PNCs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Execution on the defensive side. I know that's the word for it. And he's just saying, basically he's saying, this is the plan. Eberflus is putting this plan together. He's been successful at it before, and they believe he can be successful at it again. They just got to get the combination of the players and the coach working together on that thing.
And then I know out there in the world, there is the thought that essentially a high ankle sprain means you're going to be out for 4 weeks, but we just got the answer from Steven right there, as they'll progress it as it goes along. But CeeDee after the game said he thought he could absolutely play against Green Bay. But remember, this is also kind of in the same cluster of answers where he goes, you know, sometimes I have to kind of be like reined in just a little bit for my own good. I know I'm kind of paraphrasing, but he was like, I want to be out there. And so sometimes the medical staff, the coaching staff has to slow me down just a little bit. So I think that will be an interesting balance throughout the week as you move forward towards Green Bay. By the way, speaking of that Green Bay game, in about an hour in our 120 segment,
we'll be
giving away a pair of Cowboys Packers suite tickets. And that's S-U-I-T-E, suite, like in a suite.
So you don't have to sit amongst the regular people.
That actually is true. Although with the construction of the suites, you do have the option of either living it up in luxury or like stepping out to the front part of the suite where you sit in seats that are within view of the regular people, yeah, okay, as you just said.
You can kind of still be part of the people.
Yes. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we move into the expressway with Dallas Cowboys thank you and mostly no thank you notes after an embarrassing loss to the Bears. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
And the Bears left to right at the 35-yard line. Go over the I formation. Williams with a toss right to Swift. A flea flicker back to Williams, and he's going deep, and he's got a man behind everybody, and it's Burden at the 20, and Luther Burden dances in for the 65-yard Chicago touchdown.
It just felt like 80 yards, and Luther Burden had two whole catches for two whole yards before that.
You know what really, well, yeah, I will say two things here. One.
Tell me.
I know Luther Burden had some problems with Ben Johnson before the season,
right?
Like during training camp and everything. Ben Johnson was not a fan of his yet. And so maybe that was a factor in it. The other, because he couldn't get his stuff together.
Sure.
He's like, just do what I'm asking you to do. The other thing is there are a lot of people who ascribe to draft 101 and they all knew and cared for Luther Burden.
Yeah.
So yesterday was kind of this like, see, we told you moment.
Now, just a couple of quick catch-ups on injury notes. The Broncos put Dre Greenlaw on injured reserve with a thigh injury. Oh. Najee Harris was carted off after what some people initially thought was an ankle injury. It was actually an Achilles injury. So there you go. And then James Conner suffered a season-ending ankle injury as well. So as we talk about, Steven said, it's a tough game and lots of injuries yesterday. Now, Dallas Cowboys, thank you, no thank you notes. Can I just put out one that I don't think is a fair no thank you?
Okay.
Shoddy getting ripped by some on social media for CeeDee Lamb running the ball. This is like literally been something they have done for years occasionally. It sucks that he got hurt, but I don't have a big issue with that.
Okay.
Maybe you do. I don't know.
I don't either.
Okay.
It's been successful before. You've gotten good plays out of it before. He's pretty, like, aside from his shoulder injury last year, he's been pretty healthy.
Right.
The way that happened was bad.
Yes.
That was it. Like watching the playback, I was like, did he leg whip him? That was my first thought. But that way that it happened was bad. But you've done this before. It's part of the game plan. They know it's going to happen. He could get hurt on any play.
Yeah.
He is not just a wide receiver for this team either. He is used in a lot of different areas. So that doesn't have anything. That's not a problem for me at all.
So I think there are a lot of
things that happened, though.
Yes, there are a lot of other issues yesterday. And let's go with the George Pickens drop that led to an interception on a day that you did not need to help the Bears in getting turnovers. You just gave that one to him. And Steven goes, hey, we knew George is an emotional guy. I don't have an issue with that play. I'm sure some people will, but I also never had an issue with Dez when he was upset specifically about something like he was involved in that didn't go right. Now, like being upset with not getting your number called is a different deal than, damn it, my number was called and it didn't work the way it was. I have no issue with that level of passion, but I do have issue, obviously, with George Pickens leading directly to an interception on a day when you did not need to help them anymore. No thank you note also to Damone Clark for getting absolutely chomped out on a play by DeAndre
Swift.
Did you
see Ryan Floyd catch that one on the sideline, though?
I did.
That
yes.
Went right to him. That was pretty
yes,
awesome.
Yes, I did. I mean, but he was on the sideline. But yes, you're right. But yeah, there was one particular play, and in the grand scheme, you might be like, who cares? But Damone Clark just got embarrassed by DeAndre Swift.
I I want to discuss the Pickens thing with you a little more.
Let's do it.
I hope it's not disingenuous.
Okay.
Sometimes I feel like people act out because they've made a mistake and they want to show everybody that they how upset they are about the mistake they've made.
Okay.
But they don't fix the mistake. And yeah. That's what I'm hoping is that like he's like, you know what? I'm not letting that happen again kind of thing.
Okay.
That's the only reason where I'm just like, okay, was that demonstrative for me? Or was that demonstrative because that's who you are? And I don't know him well enough yet. So I'll learn the player and hopefully he's doing that because that is who he is. That is what he wants.
I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but I can understand there might be Steelers fans out there who are like, you shouldn't, but I will for now.
Kevin, I have a no thank you note for Dak's interceptions.
Oh, okay.
Here's why. And I know we can blame, you know, the fourth down interception. He had to throw it somewhere, right? Like that was in the end zone. You have to throw the ball. And then Tremaine Edmonds gets an interception. At the moment, there are a handful of quarterbacks, over 10 quarterbacks with at least 3 interceptions this year. Do you want to hear their names?
Yes.
Jake Browning has 5. Is he good?
No.
Joe Flacco has 4. Is he good?
Oh, man. I mean, I got an upcoming overreaction that hasn't benched, so I guess I have to say no.
Tua has 4. Is he good?
Oh, man, no.
Trevor Lawrence has 4. What do you think about Trevor Lawrence? Are you glad that I sold that card?
Oh, I'm glad for you.
Geno Smith has 4.
I thought Geno Smith was going to be better this year.
He good?
He's fine.
Okay.
I'll put him and Trevor Lawrence, and they're fine.
Aaron Rodgers has 3. Russell Wilson has 3.
Ooh.
J.J. McCarthy, Bryce Young have 3. C.J. Stroud and Bo Nix also have 3, and so does Dak.
Ooh.
And again, I know one of them bounced off his receiver's hands, and it's very early in the season, and maybe Dak doesn't throw another freaking interception for the rest of the year. I doubt it, just because of the nature of the sport. But that's not the company I want Dak to be associated with. And I know this offense did not look good yesterday. It just didn't function the way that we need it to function. If your defense is going to be what your defense is right now, your offense has to be a well-oiled machine, and that's just like not the company that I want him to be in. If that's a fair thing.
No, I get it. That is, an unfortunate grouping to be in.
And when it comes to the touchdown numbers, like they don't match up either compared to the other really good quarterbacks.
Right.
That Baker Mayfield has 6 right now. This offense has to be so much more, and it's an unfortunate, it's a bad thing to have to put on the offense, and Dak's going to carry it all because he's the quarterback, he's the $60 million man, he's all these things, but this offense has to be the thing that carries until the defense turns over.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's just where we are at the moment.
Yeah. No thank you note to, I mean, look, it's one specific play. You could go across, but the 3 missed tackles on one play in the third quarter, the play in question led to Kenny Clark being down for a minute, at which point I was like, oh dear God, no.
Yeah.
Although this is a bizarre thank you, no thank you note, because also thank you to the Bears, I guess, kind of for running that play since it lost 8 yards. But that was part of the 19 play longest drive in the NFL this season. March down the field, took about 10 minutes, 19 plays, and that play right there encompassed a lot of what was problematic during the day. I know it was a big loss, but the fact that you missed so many tackles on that play was freaking infuriating.
I saw this from Joseph Hoyt, Kevin.
I know him.
No thank yous to pressure.
For sure.
Cowboys had 0 quarterback hits in that first half, he said. But then he also added this. Braxton Jones became the 4th left tackle this year to not allow a single pressure in a game. In weeks 1 through 2, he allowed a team high 12 pressures on 79 blocking attempts. And he did not allow 1 versus the Cowboys. And that right there is we've discussed this at length. The Cowboys said we feel good about our depth at defensive end.
Yeah.
Do we think that our depth is as high end as Micah? The answer would probably always be no.
Correct.
And I don't think that they acted like that was a reality. But they said we feel good about our depth. Right now, the depth is proving that's part of the execution detriment on this team. Not only is the secondary not playing well, but the lack of pressure on the quarterback is creating too many opportunities to just say, I'm comfortable in the pocket and I can deliver passes easy.
Yeah, and you need one. Well, let's focus on three areas. I felt like none of them were working yesterday, but that has been a theory these last two games. All right, so let's take a look at the front level of the defense.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you getting pressure on the quarterback? Nope. You look at the middle level of the defense, although this permeates throughout the defense. Are you making the tackle? Wrapping up? Not really. Third level of the defense, are you covering? Seven of Caleb Williams' eight receivers yesterday had an average separation of more than 3 yards.
That's a lot.
Yes.
That is a lot.
For an NFL receiver. So, like, stack a person and a half up, give or take. That's how big that separation was for seven of his eight receivers that he threw the ball yesterday. That is staggering. So the coverage is subpar. The tackling is probably subpar. I don't think it's as bad as the other two areas. And right now, winning the line of scrimmage and getting pressure is subpar. Well, guess what? I don't care what personnel you have out there. If your pass rush isn't effective and your pass defense in terms of your secondary isn't effective, well, guess what? You're going to have massive amounts of points put up on you.
Yeah, and you don't want massive amounts of points put up on you.
You do not. Unless
you can score massive amounts of points.
I mean, but you can't. You can get massive amounts of field goals, which I guess is one of my few thank you notes.
Thank you,
goes
Brandon Aubrey.
To Brandon Aubrey for still being awesome and still being automatic. I did want to throw out, because I thought there were plenty of tough spots for him in this game. I will throw out a thank you note to Donovan Wilson for hitting Adunze on a touchdown pass, especially when Caleb Williams threw a pass so bad that they had to show the replay like three times because it was positive. It was deflected because it looked like a pass I would throw into the end zone. And so I appreciate him staying on it. Now, it didn't actually end up making a difference, but in that moment, I was proud of
it. I'll say thank you to Jake Ferguson. 13 catches on 14 targets.
Yeah.
That showed some focus. He looked exhausted at one point for sure. Like, he was just
done. Yeah, and the announcers were like, oh, keep him out there. He's got 13 catches.
Of course. I also like to thank Joe Milton, Kevin, because I had given up on this game. And then when he stepped onto the field and threw his first pass, I was like, okay, let's get excited for a few seconds. I was done with the game completely with 4 or 5 minutes left in the game, and Joe Milton stepped on the field. So thanks for bringing me back into interest level for just a second.
Yeah. No, look, by the way, no thank you note to Tom Brady. And this is not a general. This is very specific. In the broadcast early on, they were talking about that offensive line. He goes, oh, yeah. This offensive line's really coming together. And I was like, what is that based on? Because I heard all the staggering stats from Corey this past week. I saw that game, or I guess a lot of the first two games. What part of that has led him to believe that the offensive line is really coming together, or did he feel like he just needed to fill the dead air with something that people say?
I think there are. You know how you feel like the defense, you don't get any flashes of good right now? Like that's the feeling. With the Cowboys offensive line, I feel like I see a flash here and there. And there will be a flash of the complete offensive line. And you're like, wow, that was good. And last year it was always like one person was always falling apart. I'm seeing a little more consistency than I expected. And especially with a replacement center right now. But it's not where it needs to be. I think it's coming together a little more in the running game because what they averaged 6.1 rushing yards per run.
Hey!
Chicago averaged 3, so the Cowboys are stopping the run. Just
look,
saying.
Man!
But it's the Kevin yards per pass. Cowboys, 5.9. Chicago, 10.6.
And 5.9 is an abysmal number as well.
So I agree with Brady on I'm seeing more consistency and more flashes of good than the outstanding amount of bad that I'm seeing on the defensive side of the ball.
Now, I appreciate what we're saying about the Cowboys' run defense. I talked about that in two more competitive games. I thought their run defense looked great. But you're going to end up having a run defense that you're like, oh, man, their run defense is really good. And you're like, yeah, because they're just going to pass the ball all the time because you can't stop Jack S when it comes to passing. So that's going to be great. You're going to see most teams, you're going to be like, oh, the Cowboys are giving up a NFL low 60 yards rushing and 3.5 yards of carry. And I'm going to be like, hell yeah. And then you're going to look at the other side and be like, oh yeah, that's right. Because they're nonstop passing because either we don't have the right personnel for the zone, the communication is not correct in the zone, or it comes down to execution. You can pick any one of those. That feels hollow to me. I cared about it more in the Eagles game. But now that feels hollow.
I really appreciated when I tweeted yesterday at 4:52 in the afternoon. They are stopping the run, though. That there was the proper amount of sarcastic responses.
Sure.
Of like people understanding what I meant by we are stopping the run, though. It doesn't mean that I think that the Cowboys are great at stopping the run.
Right.
But for as bad as it was giving up those offensive plays,
yeah,
they were kind of stopping the run. And that's kind of how I felt. Like, exactly the way I just said it, Kevin.
Yes.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it felt.
Yeah. I mean, look, it feels...
And then the response, like I said, the responses on Twitter, very sarcastic, and I liked it.
Which, it feels like what the Cowboys might do, or what you're doing in a sarcastic way, is you're doing the distractionary tactic as a magician.
Yes.
So, like, I'm not supposed to think there's two people in those boxes, but in one of the boxes is Caleb Williams throwing for a career high 239 passing yards in the first half alone. And in the other box is Caleb Williams tying a career high with 4 touchdown passes, but you just threw that smoke bomb down, and that's what I'm paying attention to instead.
Well, I mean, think about this for a second. This was the first time Caleb Williams had not been sacked.
That is also bad.
Not for him.
You know what? That is a good point. You know what? We did this all wrong. We should have had all today. Chicago players and fans writing in thank you notes to us for things that the Cowboys could not do appropriately yesterday. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Something to pick you up. Don't forget, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to Cowboys Packers in a suite this weekend. That's going to come up in the 120 segment. But right now, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It's time for a little baseball nuggets. Where I wish I had more good news for you, but Alec, can you go ahead and play cut number 26? Because there wasn't positivity for the Rangers this weekend either. I'm sorry.
One. Swinging a chopper, third base side. This should do it. The third baseman, Norby, has it on to first, and that's the game. The Marlins over the Rangers 6-4. The Rangers' playoff chances, if they still exist, are fleeting and fleeting fast.
Sorry, somebody said they stopped the run so well that they scared the running back into pitching the ball back to the quarterback on one play.
Man, the front half of that play was so ugly. But then when you zoom out and you're like, oh yeah, our guy's not even 15 yards within that play. Well done. Well done. All right, so
the Rangers, huh?
The Rangers' playoff hopes do still technically, mathematically exist, but we are being honest with each other. Their playoff hopes went the way of the Peagle on Friday night as the Rangers retired the, this is a generous use of this term, fan favorite Peagle uniform after Friday's game. The uniform was launched in 2023. It was so popular, it lasted for 3 years.
3 years is a long time.
Is it?
If things only last 4 years, then yes. Okay. The other thing is, dude, I bet they have numbers that show that those jerseys and hats and stuff sold like crazy.
You could be right.
They were like, I know the players didn't particularly love the look of them. Mm. They thought the black pants were kind of weird to go with the cream jersey. Adrian in particular, she was like, hey, what's the story? And I was like, it's a story. You really do have to like read the story to understand, because it did look like they were doing four different things at one time.
They're going to have a new City Connect jersey next year.
Awesome.
But remember, the last time they debuted a new City Connect jersey, we won the World Series.
So we're winning the World Series next year is what you're saying.
I mean, it ain't going to be this year.
Kevin, as far as the Rangers go, they were 3-7 in their last 10. So they had won three games.
Yeah, but they won those three at the front. And then they lost seven in a row.
Yeah, this is a bad slide here. Let's take a look at the standings.
You don't want to do that.
We are currently five games back. Mm-hmm. I bet we can make this up by the end of the season.
You could, theoretically.
See?
That could happen.
All you need is for the Astros to lose. And the Guardians or... You need the Guardians to lose. You have three games against the Guardians. Can you make up five games in three games?
You cannot.
Right.
But the Astros and Guardians don't play each other. So theoretically, they could both lose their last six games to put them at 84 and 78. Meanwhile, the Rangers could win their last six games to put them in 85 and 77.
That's so all you got
to
do.
It could happen. I just don't think you should put a lot of stock in that. By the way, speaking of the Guardians, they pitched shutouts on both sides of a doubleheader over the weekend for the first time since 1964. That gave them their 15th win in their last 16 games and pulled them within one game of first place in their division. This is prior to Sunday's game. The last time that they were that close was 5 months ago, but they did lose on Sunday. However, this is the part that is so devastating to me as a Rangers fan. You're looking at it right now, during this hot streak, you were still ahead of Cleveland. Like a week ago,
You
were neck and neck with Cleveland, and now you're five games back of the wild card, and Cleveland has shared possession of one of those wild card
spots.
Well,
maybe, Kevin, maybe that 9-1 in the last 10 games they have, maybe that's it. Maybe that's all they had left.
I mean, they did lose yesterday.
We're always told you either start too soon and you're finished too late, something like that.
Hold on, are you insinuating that in September the Guardians have peaked too soon?
Maybe so. With a week left?
Uh-huh.
Maybe that's it. Maybe the Rangers are like, all right, now is the time we turn this thing on. I don't know that I believe what I just said, but I have said it, all right? And I want that on record.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think you're going to find yourself in a situation on Friday where you want the Rangers to get swept?
Maybe.
Because that could help
if
facilitate
it kills the
Astros,
chances, yes. But if there's a chance that the Rangers can make a miracle happen.
All right.
I will hold my breath for it.
This is going to be a sports moral compass later in the week.
Even though I know I waved the flag and I might be right about that. But
all right.
I would love it.
It's Sunday afternoon. The Rangers are beating the Guardians 2-0 and their pitchers have a no-hitter. If the Guardians lose, the Astros get in the playoffs. If the Guardians win, the Astros are out of the playoffs.
The Rangers
have no chance. What do you want to happen?
The game to be called.
Well, how would that solve anything?
I
guess it would, because there'd be uneven amount of games.
Yeah, so I just leave it at
that. I want you to ponder that. I'm going to present that scenario more in depth later in the week.
The G-Bag Nation?
Actually, that is a good idea. We'll do that. All right. So keep an eye out on this for the Dodgers. We've talked about just the massive injuries that they've had all season. All-star catcher Will Smith has a hairline fracture in his hand, Dave Roberts said on Saturday, and he's not expected to be activated from the injured list before the end of the regular season, and his start to the postseason is now in jeopardy as well. And like we talked about, he has been through a lot. That team has been through a lot of injuries, so this could be another one that could take them down. The Blue Jays clinched a playoff spot over the weekend, but they are still trying to win the division and have the best record in the American League going into the playoffs, but some momentum there as well. Unfortunately, momentum continues for the Seattle Mariners as well. They heard that I did not believe in them, and they are on pace right now to win the division. Part of the reason, Cal Raleigh.
You've been all over this story all season long, the big dumper,
the getting after it. The big dumper. He hit two more home runs over the weekend. He now has 58. Why that's noteworthy? Well, there's a couple of reasons. First of all, that means he surpasses Ken Griffey Jr. for the most home runs in Mariners history. And that's just something like, there are few players in my mind that are so synonymous with a team as Ken Griffey Jr. with the Mariners, even though he played like a decade in Cincinnati. I still just think of him as the end-all, be-all of Mariners baseball. And so
it's
somebody
weird because Randy Johnson, I consider a Diamondback as much as a Mariner.
Okay.
But with Griffey, I'm right there with you. He's a Mariner in
yes,
my mind.
Yes, even though he played for the Reds forever. Cal Raleigh is now on pace for 60 home runs for the year. But it could make for an interesting last week of the season if he keeps up a really impressive pace. We could find ourselves in American League record position.
Very similar to the way I feel about Mike Trout. I feel that he is a great player despite the fact that he hasn't been in the playoffs very often in his career.
How much did you love the thing that happened with Mike Trout over the weekend? So Mike Trout hits a 485-foot home run. It was one of those, like, you know, the other day we played that cut. I think it was from Hixie. And as soon as he hit it, he was like, oh, well, that's a no-doubter. And, like, you didn't have to wait for any suspense. Yes, Mike Trout did the same thing for his 400th home run. After the game, the guy who caught the baseball gave it to Mike Trout. He was there with his wife and his two kids. He got 3 autograph bats, 2 autograph balls, and at the fans' request, he said, would you go play catch with me? And Mike Trout, if you see the video, he goes, yeah, do you want to do it right now? And then they go out and they play catch just like right outside the dugout. And I love Mike Trout's quote about this, talking about the kids. Once they get older and realize that'll be an awesome memory for the dad to tell the kids to experience that. I know how I felt when I went to the ball game with my dad. And I just thought that was super duper cool, man.
Dude, let's have a catch. Are you kidding me? And he's like,
Field of Dreams.
You want to do it right now? Let's knock this sucker out so I don't have to stress about it later.
Yeah.
But also, I know how to play catch. This is something I do every day.
Yeah.
I'm really good at it. I get paid to do it. Yes, let's play catch so I can have that ball back.
And then, well, I mean, that's true.
Oh, and also to share a moment with you.
But I just really liked his quote. Now, do you consider, do you want me to wait? Maybe we'll pick up the Giancarlo Stanton conversation another day because the Yankees manager made a bold assertion that I'm like, I think that is a wild thought. But we'll get to that another day because coming up next, it's time for the C-Block, starring Corey Major.
It is time for Hits and Misses from the weekend, next in the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.